Shalom, brethren, in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is also known as Yahushua HaMashiach in the Hebrew language, that is his original name from before the foundations of the earth, long before the Romans and the Greeks changed his name to Jesus Christ. And in these end times, we all have a duty and responsibility to learn the Hebrew name of the Messiah and become accustomed to using it often because of what is to come in the future. The name Jesus Christ can easily be manipulated by anybody on this earth, including the anti-Messiah, who has been revealed prophetically as Barack Hussein Obama. His name is in the Hebrew Bible in Luke chapter 10:18. Barack Obama, his name is in the Bible. Hussein is the name that links him to the Ishmaelites, the Muslims, because he is going to operate as a Muslim savior of some kind, and he is also going to operate as a Christian savior, fake savior of some kind. He's going to be a messiah for all the religions on the earth, because all the religions on the earth are expecting a messiah in these end times who will bring peace to the earth. So I don't know all the names of the messiah, of the title of the word, you know, messiah in each language, but we will learn by God's grace. I know I've forgotten what it is in the Arabic language, but yes, each religion on earth is waiting for a messiah of some kind. And so by the time Obama is introduced by the Pope, the one that we see now, by the time he gets introduced in the future, many people will find it easy to be deceived if they do not know the identity of the anti-Messiah. Some people have been deceived into believing that we will find out in the future, and so we don't need to know now, but now is the time to know, because God is saying if you don't know now, you will not know in the future. You will be deceived, unfortunately. This is Sister Perpetua Mirembe, or Shulamit George. Shulamit is a Hebrew name that means peace, or Mirembe is the feminine version of Shalom, for those who are wondering, because in Hebrew there are feminine and masculine names. So Shalom is for males, whereas Shulamit is for females. Today is Friday, the 26th of January 2024, on the Roman Gregorian calendar. And on the Hebrew calendar, on the Roman Gregorian calendar, as per Daniel 7:25, and on the Hebrew calendar, as per Genesis 1, Exodus 12, 1-2, Leviticus 23, and various other holy biblical scriptures, today is Shevat 16. I was meant to do an audio yesterday to share about Tubi Shivat, the birthday of the trees, or the new year of the trees. Rosh Hashanah of the trees in Hebrew. However, it ended up not being possible because my day ended up being so busy. Our children go to a Jewish school, so we celebrated Tubi Shivat at school. And that time I would have recorded the audio is the time I had to go out and be with the children at school. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the main point of this audio is to teach about offerings. It's just a brief audio about offerings. The offerings that we have to give that the Lord has in mind for us to give while we are living on this earth, particularly the brethren in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You see, when you start to use the name Yahushua HaMashiach, you don't have to worry about the manipulation of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's true when, you know, we are to ask ourselves, what are the megachurch pastors worshiping? Who are they worshiping exactly? The false gospel ministers, who are they worshiping? You know, we need to know, we need to be wondering, because we are not worshiping the same Jesus. They have become Freemasons. They have become Illuminati. They work for Satan. So when they are calling on Jesus, they are calling on Obama, the only begotten son of the devil. God the Father, whose name is Yahweh, but also translated to Yahweh, has revealed prophetically that the anti-Messiah, who is also known as the Son of Perdition, and has various other titles such as Predator, and other titles I've forgotten, but they are in, some are in the Bible, and some the Lord has withheld, but has revealed to his prophets, Amos 3:7. He is the only begotten son of the devil. So if you want to understand about the anti-Messiah, you have to know Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have to know Yahushua HaMashiach of Nazareth very well, or else you will just think that Obama is the Messiah. So anyhow, that is a diversion. I just find myself having to share on this because as many people as possible need to know these truths, because of the times we're in. There are other things I could share concerning this, but this is not the time. Let my focus be on the offerings that we are to give. I'm not going to say church, but I'm just saying the offerings that we are to give. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give you praise, I give you glory and honor, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in any way I've sinned against you, I soak myself in the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I ask that, Father, you have mercy upon me according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out all my transgressions with the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I soak these audios in the blood of Jesus. I soak my lips, my thoughts in the blood of Jesus Christ. I command everything within me, Lord, my thoughts, my imaginations, my lips, my tongue, my heart, to be subject to your word. Mandorobo Koria Bashanda. Holy Spirit, come and take control. Koria Bashanda. Even as I do this ministration, I pray that you have your way. Lendorobo Shikayanda. Speak to your people. Lendoroba Kairebo Shanda. I pray that, Father, this word will bear good fruit for you. Lindorobo Shikayanda. Rikosyebanda. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I have prayed all this. Lord, I soak this audio once again in the blood of Jesus Christ. I soak my environment in the blood of Jesus Christ. I soak everything that concerns me and your people, especially the body of Jesus Christ, the sheep and lambs, the bride and the guests, the barley and the wheat, Mandorobo Koriabashanda, in the name of Jesus Christ. For you said you came for the sheep and lambs, not the goats. Riko Shetaya Lavosiabanda, you came for the bride and the guests, Loriabashanda, the bride and the guests of Jesus Christ, because they are the ones of Satan. Lord Abakashete, Rakondi Abashanda, you came for the barley and the wheat of Jesus Christ, you didn't come for the tares, Lora Makaya Labashanda, and that's why you said you are going to separate the wheat from the tares, Le Koria Bashanda, for you said the judgment begins at the house of the Lord, Loria Makanda Rabashanda, Rekosora Bashanda Rababosa. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, Lord, Lendro Boshinda, have your way, Lord, to the glory of your name, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. So just before I quickly move on, Tu B'Shvat, the birthday of the trees. Tu B'Shvat simply means Shvat 15th, the 15th day, 15th day of the month of Shvat. That was yesterday. And it is also called Rosh Hashanah. La not. Rosh Hashanah la not. Literally, the new year of the trees is the first of Shevat, is the new year of the trees according to the Hebrew. It marks the beginning of a new year or birthday for trees as they emerge from their winter sleep and start another fruit bearing cycle. Hallelujah. And this is all mentioned within the books of, I think in particular, Deuteronomy, but there are other books in which the Lord, for example, tells us, you know, Leviticus, where he tells us, you know, that we plant trees in the first, and then we don't touch them for the first year, second year, third year, fourth year. We don't touch the fruits, but we touch the fruits in the fifth year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, the fifth year onwards. And one of those years we have to give to the Lord as tithe. So anyway, this is a day that talks about fruit bearing as children of God, because we are likened to trees in the Bible. It talks about our roots, the foundations, what would the righteous do, Psalm 11:3. It talks about branches, because we are the branches of the true vine, John 15, and we are called to bear many good fruit. There's various things to talk about in this. We also tend to talk about Daniel chapter 4, the tree that became so prideful and the Lord cut it down. Hallelujah. Anyhow, I'm gonna leave that one at that, but yeah, I just thought I should let you know that in Hebrew it's Rosh Hashanah Lalanot. And that means the new year of the trees. So even trees have New Year's Day for themselves. And that's how the Lord designed it and taught the Hebrew people. And we are all meant to learn this because we are Hebrews after accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and having ourselves washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is Hebrew blood. We automatically become Messianic Hebrews with the apostolic foundation of the book of Acts, with the main focus on Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, back to offerings. So, I wrote something last night and I need to share it. In audio as well, because I need to add some things I didn't write. So I started off by saying, as believers in and followers of Yahushua HaMashiach, who is also known as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and therefore Messianic Hebrews or Jews, not Christians, because we are not tax bracket codes, we are not Roman tax bracket codes. That's another long story I'm not going to go into just now. We have an obligation to know about and give to the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, whose name in short is Yah, that is his family, that is the family name of the Holy Trinity Godhead, hallelujah, as part of the fulfillment of the two greatest commandments mentioned in Matthew 22:36-40. I made a mistake there. I wrote 4 instead of 40 in 3 different ways. And these 3 ways have Hebrew names as follows. So There are various ways in which to fulfill the commandments of love one another, love God with all you have, hallelujah, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commandments we are to fulfill in various ways, and that is how we exhibit holiness, the heavenly holiness standard of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. And through that, we are to bear many good fruit. We fulfill those two greatest commandments, which are a summary of the Torah, or the law of God that is written in the Old Testament, in particularly, Deuteronomy is the main book. And that's why in Luganda language it's called Echamateka. Echamateka, Luganda and Hebrew are very much related. Many of the translations of the words are directly from the Hebrew language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the words are similar to the Hebrew language. Hallelujah. And as we have all learned, the Baganda people, their history goes all the way back to King David. King David impregnated the Queen of Sheba, and that child that she gave birth to is the Baganda's ancestor. Hallelujah. So we are Jewish. By blood, we are biological Jews as the Baganda people. Hallelujah. The Baganda kingdom. And that's why the Holy Revival, End Time Revival in Uganda is meant to start in the Baganda kingdom, land of Okoshitaya, and then spread to other parts of the nation of Uganda, and then spread to the rest of Al-Kibulan, also known as Africa. Africa is a term of slavery, Roman bondage, claiming that they've conquered us. We have not been conquered by them. In the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we reject that. So we are Al-Kibulans, mother of mankind and garden of Eden. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Revival will then spread from the continent of Al-Kibulan all the way to the rest of the world. Hallelujah. But the main kingdoms that we need to pray for, we pray for all the kingdoms in Uganda, but the main kingdoms we need to pray for are Buganda and Busoga, because the two are stationed at the two major water bodies that connect to the rest of the world, and that are meant to be altars of the Most High God and not the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lake Victoria and the River Nile. River Nile, as we know, is written of in the Bible. Lake Victoria is the source of the River Nile. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that goes all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Blessed be the name of the Most High God. Hallelujah. So I have diverted a little bit. Let's go back to what I meant to share. Okay, so as believers in and followers of Yahushua HaMashiach, Yahushua means Yah's salvation, God's salvation. Yah, Y-A-H, is God's surname, which simply means God. When you use the word Yah, you actually speak the power of God, because it's a very powerful name in the spirit. And you know, the devil created the word Yah, Y-E-A-H, for people to say Yah instead of yes, and in a way they are messing around with the name of the Lord. We need to know that the name Yah, which is in the Bible, sometimes they use the letter J, but there's no J in the Hebrew language. The letter J is approximately 500 years old on this earth. It never existed from the beginning of creation. It wasn't used. And it's not in Hebrew, which is the language of creation. So if it's not in the Hebrew language, it means the name of Jesus Christ cannot be the original name of the Messiah. And this is why the Jews struggled, the Orthodox Jews or Hebrews struggle to accept salvation. When you come to them with the name Jesus Christ, they feel offended and they wonder, what Messiah are you talking about? It has to be a Hebrew name, hallelujah, which is Yahushua HaMashiach, not Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A. That has no meaning whatsoever to the Lord. is Yahushua. It must have the name Yah in it. That is what the Lord said. Hallelujah. And there's a prophetic significance for this. You know, for everything the devil has created, there is a trap ahead for everything. And that's why the Lord is telling us to do away with the abominations. Do away with lipstick. There's something coming ahead that the devil is going to do away with nail varnish. There's something coming ahead. Do away with fake hair. You know, hair that God did not create you with. There's something coming ahead. Keep your heads covered as a woman. There's something coming ahead. The Lord is saying various things to us. The name, he's telling us to stop using or cut back on using the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because there is a day when the name will be as a curse to us. And it's not the only one. Every other name that has been translated, translated from the Hebrew language, including the name Yesu, Yetu, Jesus, because those names do not have the name Yah in it. Worldwide, the body of Jesus Christ is meant to use one name, only one name. Not that you use your name in your language. We're only meant to use one name, and that's Yahushua HaMashiach. And that's the name that saves, the name that has a higher anointing, a much greater anointing. It's the name that some own demons, that is the only name that some demons in hell that have not yet been released to the earth know, by the way. That's another thing we need to know. Certain demons that have been locked up in hell for a long time, they only know the name Yahushua HaMashiach. They don't know the name Jesus Christ. So you could end up having problems in the future when you're speaking and decreeing against them and they're not responding. I've had a revelation about this, actually. It is going to happen. And there are other people who have had revelations about it. But anyhow, let us move on. I keep diverting for whatever reason. Sorry, I guess it's about time I start sharing some prophetic messages that the Lord has given me over the years, but I'm not going to overload you or overwhelm you. The main message in this audio is there are three major offerings we are meant to pay to the Lord. And those are tithe, teruma, and zedaka. Hallelujah. Tithe, teruma, and zedaka. These are Hebrew words that talk about the offerings we are required to give every, well, depending on the season. So the tithe offering is 10% of our earnings, and it goes to the godly ministers. There's a reason why I emphasize that. Yes, we can pay to the church. You know, as I said, anyway, you have to be Holy Spirit led when you are giving your tithe. You have to be Holy Spirit led, because if I'm not going to use the word sow, because we are not dealing with pigs here. We're dealing with planting seeds, financial seeds. Wherever you plant your financial seeds matters a lot. It really does matter. If you don't plant your seeds in the right place, they never get received. They never get acknowledged. They never get blessed of the Lord. You remember, throughout the Holy Scriptures, we see the fire of the Lord coming down to burn up offerings that he has accepted. When Adam did his first offering, which was of bread, the fire of the Lord came down and burnt up the sacrifice as a sign that the Lord was pleased with what Adam had done. And the same thing happened when the angel of the Lord came to visit Samson's parents, and at other various times, even during the Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18. So there are various occasions that we have to get a response to the offering we have given. We may be giving our offerings in the wrong places, and so they never bear good fruit. For those of you who have been given to the false gospel ministers, you really need to pray and cut off the soul ties that have been created, the evil soul ties that have been created as a result of you planting, not sowing, planting in the right place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, planting in the wrong place. Planting in the wrong place. You need to release the blood of Jesus Christ upon those offerings that you've given unknowingly, whether you're giving it unknowingly or knowingly, by the way, to the wrong place. It does affect you spiritually, because when you're giving your money in a way, you are linking your soul to that place, and it's easy for them to steal your soul. They also use that opportunity to steal your financial wealth, because especially mega church pastors, they have been given a mandate by the devil to bankrupt as many people as possible. They themselves, the devil tells them that they are in debt with him and they have to pay him back. So they have to keep collecting money. They have to keep collecting money. They have to keep collecting money. And in the process of it, they have to keep collecting money. They bankrupt people. And that's why those who go there end up in so much poverty. They just become more poverty stricken as the years roll by. So it is better not to plant in the wrong place. It is better for you to, you know, to be wise in the way you give your money. Stop giving to the mega church pastors, especially, and other false gospel pastors, because you are enriching them and encouraging them to do their evil work on this earth. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit. Each one of us has been assigned to plant financial seeds to a particular minister of God, a particular shepherd. And that shepherd may not necessarily be having a physical church building now that they are running. They may just be doing their ministry online, and you may be going to them regularly for prayers, you know. So it can be somebody that God has called genuinely, but they don't necessarily have a church building where they worship, or a massive congregation. You know, God likes small congregations. God doesn't like too many people, because he knows how much a pastor can take. Each person has a certain number of demons in them that need to be dealt with, cast out, in order for them to make heaven. So if they have too many people that they are shepherding, it becomes too much. It becomes overwhelming for them at some point. And that's when you begin to see them to desiring the things of this world. They become tired at some point because the demons begin to deal with them. And then they become, pride begins to set in. They begin to desire the things of this world. Before you know it, they become mega church pastors and nobody can correct them. But when this congregation is small, it is easy to reach out to the pastor or apostle or prophet or evangelist or teacher or whoever and just say to them, this is what the Lord is saying. You are going wrong in this way. And they are meant to accept correction. It is very hard to correct a mega church pastor. Very hard. First of all, they usually have bodyguards. They have all these protocol. If you want to talk to them, you must go through the assistant this and the assistant that and the secretary and that, and you have to keep going as if you're talking to an organization like a council office, a government office of some kind. And it's not meant to be like that. Your pastor or apostle is meant to be easily approachable. It's meant to be somebody that you can actually speak to at any time. You have a problem in the night, you need a prayer, you know, that person is meant to be easy to talk to very often. So, yes, pray and ask the Lord to show you where to plant your seeds, your financial seeds, and also any other kind of seed, like you want to give clothing, you want to give shoes, you want to give food, a house. You have to ask the Lord to guide you, otherwise you're giving in vain. So tithe is 10% of your earnings. If you earn, I'm going to use 1 million shillings in Uganda. Let's use Uganda as an example. If you earn 1 million shillings a month, out of that 1 million, I think is 100,000. 100,000 is tithe. So that's just an example. If you're using pounds, if you're earning, let's say, 4,000 pounds a month, out of that 4,400 is tithe, and it must be faithfully given before all other bills go out. Or take it out, put it aside, and get ready to give it. Hallelujah. Give it to the right place accordingly. Pray over it. Make sure your heart is right with God as well as you're giving it. Because God looks at the heart, and the heart of man is desperately wicked. The heart of man is full of all kinds of wickedness. So we, as mankind, we need to constantly check our hearts and ask the Lord to purify them. Jeremiah 17:9-10. Then First Samuel, God tells Prophet Samuel, God the Father, Yahweh, also known as Yahweh, tells Prophet Samuel that man looks on the outside, God looks at the heart. And various other scriptures that talk about the heart of man. That's something I have taught about. In last year, I did it during the month of June, and I did a lot of audios that I shared on my husband's ministry website concerning the issue of the heart of man. Hallelujah. We all need spiritual circumcision of the foreskin of our hearts. Some of us need to be the Lord needs to deal with the stoniness in our hearts and give us hearts of flesh, as the book of Ezekiel makes us understand. Deuteronomy 10 talks about circumcision of the heart because we have the evil inclination to sin, and God needs to help us to overcome that evil inclination. There are people who can, you know, completely do away with it, but for you to do that, you must be living a high level of holiness on this earth in order for that to happen. For example, Enoch and Elijah, because they separated themselves at a point in time. But we live in a very evil world now, so we have to be very careful. Their world was not as evil as it is today, so we have to be very, very careful. Whatever we do must be Holy Spirit led, because everywhere we are, everywhere we go, the enemy has set up traps to catch us. You know, he has found a way to infiltrate every area of our lives. Now, for example, here in your house, you cannot say, I'm not going to watch TV, you know, in an attempt, or we use laptops in an attempt to avoid watching pornography. But in the UK here, they make sure they put the pornography for you everywhere you go. You just have to ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, because you'll see it on the billboards, you'll see it on the buses, you'll see it on the trains, you'll see it on flyers, you'll see it in newspapers, you'll see it in the women, especially the way they dress in this country. My goodness me, you want to run. They have no manners whatsoever. They like to dress half naked or naked. They have no shame. Even in the winter times, they will still be wearing mini skirts, as freezing cold as it is. Some even do away with their jackets because they are trying to show off their bodies, or they try to wear jackets that stop at the waist so they could have their waists defined or shown off, you know. We women, the Lord is telling us to stop all this show-off business. We need to do away with show-off. The Lord doesn't want us to waste time in the mirrors and constantly look for ways to show off as women. We have so much work to do on ourselves to be able to enter heaven. As I have already shared before, a man can give his life to Christ today and he can make heaven tomorrow if he dies suddenly. A woman cannot easily a woman who has given her life to Christ cannot easily make heaven tomorrow. It is very hard, because most women on earth have the devil's baggage on them. They are carrying the devil's property all over the place, and they know it not. You see, because women are the ones that were tempted in the Garden of Eden to do evil, they have a higher duty to spend more time in the presence of God, to have cleansing and purification done to them spiritually and physically. Because a lot of things came into our bodies and lives as a result of that sin that was committed by Hava, also known as Eve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are to give tithe offerings, and we're to give, as revealed in Malachi 3, as well as other holy scriptures. We're also to give the teruma offering, which is known in English as the heave offering or the voluntary offering. This is the one where you hear people, certain churches telling you that after the tithe, we need to collect the building offering. Hallelujah. You know, when it was time to build the tabernacle of Moshe, also known as Moses, the Lord instructed Moshe or Moses to collect the teruma. In fact, there's a Torah portion called teruma amongst the Torah portions we read. We read every year as Jews, whether you're Messianic or Orthodox, it's the same thing. It's just that with Messianic Jews, we have the Gospels or the other part of the New Testament added to the Torah portions. It's usually the Torah, one of the first five books of the Bible, then one of the prophets or the writings or the poetry, and then one of the books in, or two of the books in the New Testament. Hallelujah. So there's a Torah portion called Teruma, and it's coming up in about, I would say, 3 weeks, because this week is Beshalach. This is about the Red Sea crossing, the Sea of Reeds crossing. And Lendorobokoshi Tayara Boshanda, I believe next week is something, maybe Yitro, the one where Jethro comes to visit just before the receiving of the Torah or the revelation of the Torah. And then the following week, I think, is going to be the one called Teruma. Either three weeks or 4 weeks from today is going to be the Torah portion called Teruma, because it comes not long after. Oh, no, hold on. We're in Exodus. No, sorry, it's not 2 or 3 weeks, because so the Teruma is from the book of Leviticus. I've had to pause the audio for a little while because I need to attend to the children. They're not feeling well. So I'm going to bring this audio to a close very soon. So yes, you've got the teruma offering, which is the heave or voluntary offering, which is for keeping the work of God going in his house. So the tithe goes to the shepherd, the godly shepherd. The teruma goes to the building that he uses to worship, or in preparation for him getting a building to worship. Then you've got the Zedakah offering, which is the righteous giving offering, and this is to do with helping the poor and the needy, including the homeless, the sick, the elderly, the widows, the widowers. Hallelujah. And all these things are scriptural. Now, in Hebrew tradition, because the Lord has told us if we want to learn many of these things, we have to learn from the Orthodox Jews, the Israel firstborn. Hallelujah. It is tradition every weekly Sabbath from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday to have a jar in the home where they put some money that goes to the Zedakah offering. Hallelujah. So every week, just before sunset, when the Sabbath begins, we are to put some money, as you know, as the Lord leads us, in a jar in our homes towards the Zedakah offering. And then at some point in the future, when the money has become, the jar has become full, the Spirit of God will lay in our hearts where to go and give that Zedakah offering, who we are to help, with that Tzedakah offering. And aside from that, during every holy appointed time of the Lord that is mentioned in Leviticus 23, there are 10 altogether anyway, but the main ones mentioned in Leviticus 23 are the seven major ones, three of which have been fulfilled, or four of which have been fulfilled, and three more to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Three more to be fulfilled. So you've got Pesach, Passover. You've got unleavened bread, which is Hag HaMatzot in Hebrew. Then you've got Hag HaBikurim, which is fast fruits, the day of Jesus' resurrection. Then you've got Shavuot, which is known in English as weeks, and in Greek is known as Pentecost. These have been fulfilled, as we all know, because Jesus' first coming fulfilled them. And then Jesus' second coming is going to fulfill the rest. The rest are mostly around September, October time. The ones I just mentioned are mostly in April time, but one tends to be in May or June, which is the Pentecost one, Shavuot or weeks or Pentecost. But around September, October time, we've got three others, which are Rosh Hashanah, or which is also known as New Year's Day, the birthday of the world. That's the day that Adam was made and he planted his feet in the middle of the earth, which is where the cross of Jesus Christ was placed. And various other things, like the head of Goliath was under that, the Ark of the Covenant was under that, and the body of Adam was also under there, under the cross. That's the center of the earth in the whole world. Hallelujah. The Golgotha, the place of the skull. Hallelujah. The place of the skull of Goliath. That's where his head was planted after King David cut it off. Hallelujah. And that was a representation of the fact that we are not only going to overcome the bride and guests of the devil on this earth, we are also going to overcome the giants mentioned in Genesis chapter 6. Because those giants are coming back, and they're already here, actually. They're on the other side of the Antarctica, because there are 27 continents altogether on this earth. We only get to see the seven, and we're not even allowed to go to Antarctica, the seventh continent, because the governments of this world have created partitions of ownership on it, and they are hiding a lot of things there, because there is a demon hub that the Lord created when the angels fell. So, yes, the giants are here on the earth already. They are just waiting for the seven thunders to ring Revelation chapter 10 so that they can come forth. And they are coming forth not far from now. This is why we need to strengthen our faith. We need to strengthen our faith. We need to strengthen our faith. And that is where Apostle Gordon Mozales, His Grace Mozales, teachings come in handy, because he is training us to have the understanding that we are military. We are not policemen, we are military. Hallelujah, we are more than policemen, and we must have able water walking faith in order to get through the coming days. Hallelujah. So the Tzedakah offering is also given during those seven festivals. So that I was saying, the first festival is Rosh Hashanah, meaning New Year's Day, the birthday of the world, the day Adam was made and planted his feet in the middle of the earth, which is Golgotha, just outside Jerusalem or Yerushalayim. And then the next day is the day the Lord decreed the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, Genesis chapter 2, 1 to 3. So New Year's Day is 2 days, and it's also known as Yom Teruah, because it's the day of the blowing or the blasting or the sounding of the shofar.
or the trumpet. They call it trumpet, but it's a shofar horn. It's made out of ram's horn. Hallelujah. And that is to remind the Lord to have mercy on us. It's linked to the binding of Isaac that is recorded in Genesis chapter 2. And that is the day that no man knows. Matthew 24, I think 36. The day that no man knows. I've forgotten the verse, but yes, in Matthew 24. The day that no man knows is Rosh Hashanah in September, October time. And that's 2 days. Hallelujah. And that's why the bride of Jesus Christ in Matthew 25 knew the season and they got ready for the season. They were just waiting for the right timing. Hallelujah. So we are to know the season. We don't know the exact day or the hour, but we are to know the season. Hallelujah. So then there, after Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah, comes Yom Kippur, which is Judgment Day, the Day of Atonement. Hallelujah. The day the two goats are to be sacrificed, one to God and one to Azazel. That is the white throne judgment day on a yearly basis, but it's also the final one in the future, as Revelation 20 makes us understand. That's going to be fulfilled as the day of the Lord on the earth, whereby the giants and various other things will happen, 3 days of darkness, the World War III, and various other things, the Antichrist, the Anti-Messiah, Barack Hussein Obama's reign, and so many other things. I can't even remember. In fact, the list of things that God is bringing are too much. But the book of Revelation gives us a hint already, and then Joel chapter 2 and various other holy scriptures. Then you've got, after Yom Kippur, you've got Sukkot. Sukkot is the festival of tabernacles or shelters or huts, H-U-T, overseas sita in Luganda. Temporary dwellings. Hallelujah. It is also the festival of harvest, or in gathering a special harvest. So it speaks of the Israelites sleeping in temporary dwellings or shelters, tents, throughout their sojourning in the wilderness. It also speaks of the temporary dwellings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but in particular Jacob, because that is where the name of the people came from. Jacob, Israel, Yaakov, Yashahel. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So that the as I said, the New Year's Day is 2 days. Okay, Passover is 7 days. And within Passover, you've got unleavened bread and fast fruits. Fast fruits is 1 day. Unleavened bread is 7 days. Shavuot, Pentecost is 2 days. Hallelujah. But we're supposed to celebrate it for 7 days now. The Lord has said, because after counting 7 weeks, we celebrate one full week of Pentecost or Shavuot. It's all to do with numbers, 49 days and then 50 days. Hallelujah. The 50th day, sorry, 49 days and then the 50th day, 7 weeks and then the 8th week. Hallelujah. But I can't go into that now. The audio is becoming longer than expected. So the next offering, I've already spoken about the offerings, the tithe, the terumah, the tzedakah offerings. And yes, those festivals, sorry, I'm mixing things up because I'm forgetting what I'm trying to say. And then, sorry, Rosh Hashanah and or Yom Teruah, I've said it's 2 days, around September, October time. Then Yom Kippur is 1 day, that is the Day of Atonement or Judgment Day. It's one day, and that day we get judged every year, whether we know it or not, and the Lord determines what is going to happen to us in the following year. So whatever is going to happen to us this year has been determined last year on Yom Kippur. Hallelujah. Whatever was going to happen to Job, as we see in chapter 1 and throughout the rest of Job, was actually decreed on Rosh Hashanah or the Yom Kippur before that. But yes, Rosh Hashanah, it marks the beginning of the judgment season, and Yom Kippur is the culmination of the judgment season. But the Lord gives us extra grace, which is the season of the, sorry, there was the alarm clock, which is the season of Sukkot or the Tabernacles, you know, the Festival of Tabernacles, which runs around September, October time, and is the time where to celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or Yahushua HaMashiach, Emmanuel. It's all about Emmanuel, God with us. That's the time he was born. That's the first time of his first coming, and that's the time of his second coming to the earth. I'm mentioning all these things for a reason. I'm just laying foundation for now for those who've not heard of these things. I'm going to share this audio widely, but for those who have not heard these things before, I will throw more light as time goes on. But it's important to introduce these things because time is running out on this earth. And we need to know these things before the anti-Messiah rises to power. That is the whole point of the holy end-time revival. The Lord is going to use this opportunity to teach his people these things before it is too late. The entire body of Jesus Christ is meant to know these principles so that they can do things the right way. You know, these festivals, the holy appointed times, they help us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because they all have particular themes that they focus on each year throughout the year. They are special or divine appointments with the Most High God, the creator of heaven and earth, known as Yahweh or Yahweh. In fact, during the festival of Sukkot or Tabernacles, Yahweh God the Father comes down every year on earth and walks the entire earth to be in fulfillment of the fact that it is the season of Emmanuel, God with us. In the future, we know that Jesus Christ will come back, you know, his second coming will occur, and that concept of him being Emmanuel, God with us, will be properly fulfilled on this earth in a physical manifestation during the Messianic kingdom, the millennial Sabbath reign on the earth. Each festival that exists, so the festival of Sukkot or Tabernacles is 8 days or 9 days altogether. Jesus was born on the first day, and on the eighth day he was circumcised and named. So the day of circumcision is also the day of the naming, and that's the eighth day, new beginnings, hallelujah. So the eighth day is the day that Simeon and Anna, Prophet Anna and High Priest Simeon, they are not husband and wife, they spoke into his life, they prophesied as the Holy Spirit laid in their hearts. And the main part that for me sticks out is where they said that he is going to be a light to reveal the God's will, God the Father's will to the Gentiles and bring glory to his people, Israel. Hallelujah. So each of these, mainly the seven holy appointed times, and they are mentioned in Leviticus 23, we are to give the tzedakah, but in some of them we are also to give the tithe, first fruits offering. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then there's also three others that are mentioned within the scriptures, but at different points of the scripture, and that is Purim, the festival of Lots, which is the festival of Queen Esther. Purim, that one we intend to celebrate it around February, March time, depending on whether the year is a leap year or not. If it's a leap year, it pushes it forward to March. Otherwise, normally it's in February. So this year is a leap year, a pregnant year. And so it is going to be in March because we have 2 months of Adar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the festival. That festival is linked to Hanukkah, the other festival, because they are both about, you know, fighting for the survival of the Israelites. Shana Meoberet is the Hebrew word for leap year or pregnant year in the Hebrew language. Shana Meoberet, Shana means year. Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. Rosh Kodesh means the head of the month. Shana Meoberet, a leap year. So this year is a leap year on the Roman Gregorian calendar and on the Hebrew calendar. And so we have two Hebrew months of Adar, the month in which Moses was born and died, and the month in which we celebrate Purim. Hallelujah. Now, there's also Hanukkah, which is the feast of dedication. It's also the Feast of Lights, because the light of the world was conceived in Mary's womb around that time of year. And it's either November or December. Sometimes it can push into January if it's a leap year. So, for example, this year is going to go into January because it's a leap year. Everything's been pushed forward. And then there's the festival of Tu B'Shvat that I mentioned at the beginning of this audio, which is the birthday of the trees, Rosh Hashanah Lalanot, hallelujah. So the new year of the trees, hallelujah, hallelujah. We begin to count the fruit bearing of the trees, hallelujah. Now, so during these festivals, we give tzedakah, especially tzedakah, but we also give tithe offering. The teruma being a Hebrew voluntary offering, we can see it's not something that we have to give all the time, but it is necessary for maintenance of the church buildings or the worship buildings where the shepherds meet with the sheep, the true shepherds of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, also known as Yahushua HaMashiach in the Hebrew language, and originally from before the foundations of the earth. It can be mandatory. It's useful to have money put aside every month or collected by the shepherds, you know, in order to keep the maintenance of the buildings, because electrical power needs to be paid for, and other things that are needed to worship. But it's not good to, you know, abuse the fact that the Lord has, you know, called us to give, to be givers. Now, we have to understand that givers will always never lack. The Lord will always bless those who give cheerfully. He says we should give cheerfully, meaning we're not to give with gloomy hearts or with hearts full of wickedness. Even when Mary was about to receive Jesus Christ into her womb, she was actually made to laugh. She was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit beyond measure. She had to receive it with joy. So the Lord wants us to be joyful when giving. Hallelujah. We are not to give as though we are grudgingly, you know, as if it's grudgingly, as if we are being forced to give. We give because we love the Lord. God the Father, who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, also known as Yahushua HaMashiach, to die on the cross for us, that we may be saved. He was the first to give, and he's telling us to give back. Every year, every day, he gives us life. He breathes into our nostrils, and we are able to, you know, have life. By the way, we never used oxygen at the beginning of time. We never needed oxygen, and we never breathed out carbon dioxide. All these things came about because of our fallen nature, because we fell, we took of the fruit of disobedience in the Garden of Eden. And that's why we now even sometimes have to buy oxygen to be able to breathe. But we thank God who gives us life and heals us, restores us, enables us to walk, enables us to speak, enables us to see, enables us to hear, enables us to move. Hallelujah. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live unmoved, unharmed, our being in Him we live. Unmoved, unharmed, our being.
So the other thing I need to say is that, yes, we need to be givers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But we shouldn't just give for giving's sake. We must give as the Holy Spirit leads us. At the same time, the tithe offering is mandatory. That is, the tzedakah offering is mandatory. And that is why in the book of Matthew 25, we see Jesus Christ separating, or God the Father separating the sheep and the goats. And He says the distinction in that particular separation, the main distinction between the sheep and the goats is that the sheep looked after, or there are some sheep that actually are turned away because they didn't do the right thing. But anyway, the Lord, the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So He says here that from verse, and He set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King, that's verse 33, and then 34, then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And to the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Because we, the body of Jesus Christ, we are all representatives of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in each one of us. So if we treat each other well, we are actually treating Jesus Christ well. But He also tells us to be careful the way we handle our enemies. Hallelujah. And once again, this is a Holy Spirit led thing. And then He says that the goats did not take care of Him in all these circumstances, and so they shall go away to everlasting punishment. So that's Matthew 25 from verse 31 to 46. So you can see that the tzedakah offering is extremely important to the Lord, because through that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and in the process we love the God that created us with everything we have, because He is in each one of us, aside from the fact that those in the body of Jesus Christ have Him inside of them, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Which one of us on this earth, mankind, have been created in His image? Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 31. Hallelujah. So tithe, teruma, and tzedakah. We are not meant to give tithe to anywhere else aside from where the Lord wants us to give it. We are not meant to use tithe as tzedakah or teruma. Hallelujah. Some people say, I have nowhere to give my tithe. Let me give it to the widows, to the needy, to the, or the orphans. No, we are meant to give our tithe to the shepherd that is, the shepherd that the Lord has assigned us to give. And it's not what we think, it's not what we want to do, it's about what the will of God says. That shepherd could be somebody that does not necessarily have a church building or a church congregation physically. It may just be online, but once again, you have to pray very well and make sure that that shepherd is standing well with God, is spiritually mature enough to understand certain things, is
doing the work of God diligently, you have to constantly check yourself. You have to constantly check the shepherds to make sure they are still following the Lord, because shepherds can fall. Shepherds can turn to the other way and start following the devil. So you have to constantly make sure that you are still giving in the right place. Otherwise, every offering you are giving is a waste of time and money, or waste of resources. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that you just stop giving the shepherd just because you saw something not right in their lives. We have a duty to pray for our shepherds and ask the Lord for guidance in terms of what we do. It's all about a loving, obedient, faithful, personal relationship with the Lord. You must have a relationship with the Lord in order to survive in these end times. If you don't have relationship with the Lord, it is very, very difficult to know the right way to go. The Lord will say, this is the way, follow it. You will be wondering, but okay, is this really the Lord speaking or not? Because you do not have personal relationship with the Lord. Though at the same time, it is important to get confirmation of everything we hear. We need to ask the Lord to confirm his word, so we make sure that we are not listening to the devil instead of listening to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are to test the spirits. Hallelujah. So we need to ask the Lord to direct our footsteps, as Proverbs chapter 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct, and he shall direct your paths. So it's very important to let the Lord guide us. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen in Jesus Christ's name. So this message was inspired by a message that was shared in a certain WhatsApp group and is linked to New Uganda New Revival. Hallelujah. And, you know, I saw a conversation that was ongoing on the Redeemed Souls Ministry WhatsApp group, and I just said, you know what? Let me share what the Lord has taught me over the years regarding offerings, and, you know, get God's people to learn the right way to do things. I forgot to give scriptures. So tithe, the main scriptures we all know is Malachi 3, but there are other scriptures like in Leviticus, hallelujah, Leviticus 27 verse 30, and various other holy scriptures. Then you've got the Teruma offering, Exodus 25, Ezekiel 48, verse 9 to 11 and verse 20 to 22. Then there's a Dakar offering. You see it in various scriptures, mainly Matthew 6, 1 to 4, Luke 11, 41, 2 Corinthians 9, Acts chapter 10, 1 to 3, Psalm 146, 6 to 9. There are other Old Testament scriptures that talk about the Zedakah offering. And there are other scriptures that talk about each one of these things, terumah and tithe offerings. It's just that's what I could find because I was writing hurriedly. If I spent too much time on it, I wouldn't have shared it the time I did, because, you know, it takes time to prepare messages. It can be time consuming, and it's not always easy when you have a family. It's only by God's grace that we are able to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I hope and pray that this audio is a great blessing to you all, and that the Holy Spirit will use it to minister to you and transform your lives going forward in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, also known as Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Amen. Amina. So, I'm just trying to think what else I need to say. If I have anything else that I haven't mentioned here, I will share it separately. Yeah, but for now, I think I'm going to bring this audio to an end. I pray that the Lord will speak to you about any gray areas that I have mentioned in this audio. I pray that the Lord will minister to you and help you to do the right thing. As Apostle Gordon said last night, tithe, it can be compared to taxes. You know, in this world, taxes have been created by the Roman government. Jesus, God the Father, was the first to actually ask us to pay tithe, taxes. But the way he asked for his tax is different. And his tax is linked to our sinful nature. Hallelujah. You know, when he's doing the census in the book of Numbers and he tells his children to come with a coin, you know, that is a form of tax. And then the Romans, having learned about that, Esau, Roman the Vatican, decided, the serpent seed, decided to create a tax system that drains people in this evil world of Esau. And now everyone worldwide, when you work, you have to pay taxes, whether you like it or not. Whenever you carry things from one part of the world to another, like through shipping or whatever, aeroplanes, you have to pay a form of tax. So there's tax added almost to everything we buy and sell. And we have no choice but to pay taxes in this evil world. So as Jesus Christ said in Matthew, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. So yes, we pay the taxes to Caesar, Caesarian section. That's where the word Caesarian section came from. Caesar was a Roman emperor during the time of Jesus' first coming to the earth. And that Caesarian section was a form of sacrifice to the devil. That's another topic on its own. I'm not going to go into it now. That's why Apostle Gordon, in fact, I was surprised and I was really happy to hear him encourage women to try their best to pray and to give birth naturally rather than through cesarean section, because cesarean section, the enemy likes to do cesarean section as a form of sacrifice. That's what he introduced the doctors, and also putting children in incubators is a form of sacrifice to the devil. But we can pray, you know, because we live in this evil world of you, so there are some things that are hard to avoid, but we can pray. We can pray. We can overcome through many tricks of the devil through prayer. Hallelujah, in Jesus Christ's name. I found it interesting that when the Chabazinga's wife here in the UK, Dr. Anna Allison Nadiope Gabula, was about to give birth last week on the 13th of January, the doctors were trying to get her to give birth through cesarean section, but the Chabazinga intervened and said, no, please, can you try and get her to give birth naturally? Because it's important that she gives birth naturally. And that was a bonus. I just thank God that she gave birth naturally and not through cesarean section. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Sorry, one topic keeps, you know, linking to another and then I find myself diverting. But yeah, I'm trying to bring this audio to an end because it's about time. So yeah, we need to give tithe to the Lord. It's a form of taxation unto the Lord. It's only 10% of our earnings. Sometimes I know it feels like we're giving away everything we have, but that never goes unnoticed by the Lord. If it's given with a genuine heart and a heart that is not full of wickedness like that of Cain, as revealed in the book of Genesis, you know, Cain gave with an evil heart, and that's why the Lord rejected his offering. So, and then the Lord tried to encourage him to do what is, you know, to give with a good heart and to give with the right offering. But Cain was not inclined to listen to the Lord, his creator, because he was the serpent's seed. So Cain and, I don't want to add, well, Cain, Ishmael, and, Cain, Ishmael, Esau, yes, they
are doing a similar work on this earth, which is to hinder the work of God. So, and then you've got Abel, Joseph, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, who are doing the work of God to ensure that the kingdom of God is magnified on this earth. So we are either on every mankind on this earth is either on the side of Cain, Ishmael, and Esau, or the side of Abel or Seth, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. Hallelujah. That's another topic for another day. I've already shared about that again, once again in a different audio, but this is not for now. This is about tithe, teruma, and tzedakah. Though I've shared many other things, the main topic here is tithe, teruma, and tzedakah. So may you remain blessed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Give and it shall come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Give and it shall come back to you. Give unto the Lord. Give and it shall come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Give and it shall come back to you. Give unto the Lord. Give and it shall come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Give and it shall come back to you. Give unto the Lord. In the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach, amen. The teruma offering can be given to more than one person as well. That's another thing to consider. It can be given to more than one shepherd that is godly and is striving to live in the holiness of the Most High God. The tithe issue, once again, you have to talk to the Lord if you want to give it to more than one person. But the first 10% has to go to the main person that the Lord has assigned to you, that is the true shepherd of the Most High God. It can be somebody within a church or somebody who doesn't have a church as such, but is living holy. You see, we need Holy Spirit to discern people. We need Holy Spirit. That is what the Lord says. We need to be able to see Holy Spirit in each one of us in these end times. That is what the holy angels of the Lord are going to look out for when they are sending the judgment of the Lord upon the earth. So if angels are going to be able to see the Holy Spirit in, you know, the people of God, the true people of God, then we must be able to have the eyes of the Holy Spirit to see the Holy Spirit in each one of us. So we need Holy Spirit, as you know, so much more in these end times. But yeah, you can give the first 10% of your earnings to a shepherd, you know, and another 10% to another shepherd. It's really up to you. You can give to more than one shepherd, but there has to be a priority shepherd of the Most High God, John chapter 10. Hallelujah. And yes, it can be a church, it can be a shepherd who doesn't necessarily have a physical church. But once again, always check them out in the spirit to make sure they are the right shepherd to plant, not sow. Plant, not sow your seeds into. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So yes, I think I'm going to bring the audio to an end now. It's about time. It's been 1 hour, 18 minutes. Father, in the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach, also known as Jesus Christ, I give you praise and glory and honor for every good thing. Thank you for the opportunity to teach this morning concerning tithe, teruma, and tzedakah. Lord, I pray that you use this audio to speak to your people. Whatever I have forgotten to mention, Lord, I also pray that you give your people further revelation. Lord, I pray that you continue to minister to your people, those who are struggling in terms of where to pay their tithes or their teruma
or there's a dark other, Father, you will guide them, you will speak to them. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, also known as Yahushua HaMashiach. Lord, I pray that you help your people not to fall into sin of not paying their tithe and zedakah. Lord, I pray that wherever they have been missing payments of their tithe and teruma and zedakah, that Father, you lindo rabakai rebosa, you deliver them from the devourer. Rikori abashanda rababosi abashanda lendo robokoshitaya lebokora mama rebokonda rababosa letora bakanda reboshinda rababosi abakanda lendo robokori abashanda rababosa rekosata yende. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that you deliver your people from the devourer lendo robokoshandara, and restore that which the locusts, the canker, and the caterpillars have eaten in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, Joel 2:25, Lendoroboshanda, I rebuke every devourer. Rikoshataya labosa, Lindoroboshanda rababosa, Ribanda raboshanda. Lord, I pray that you seal every holes in our finances. Lendoroboshanda rababosa, seal every holes in our hands, seal every holes in our pockets, seal every holes in our wallets, seal every holes in our bank accounts, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let every holes be sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let the holes in our feet, in any part of our bodies, be sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let the holes in our finances be sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every leakage, I command it to stop now. Mandarababa, masukorobo shetaya, rikamashete, masatarabakondo, mandorobokora, rababosha, rababose, rikashataya. In the name of Jesus, every leakage in our finances, I command it to stop in the name of Jesus. Rimanda rababose abashanda, rebosi abashanda. Brethren, let's pray. Rimba shetaya lababosa, maso koroboshanda. In the name of Jesus Christ, let every leakage, mandorobokoshataya, be removed. In the name of Jesus, let it be stopped. Lindoroboshanda, let your blessings flow, Lord. Lindorobokoshataya, in the name of Jesus Christ, let your blessings flow over our finances, Lord, over every area of our lives, Father. Give us favor. Give us the power to make wealth. Mashataya. Give us the wisdom to make wealth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us the wisdom to make wealth. Give us the power to make wealth, Lord. Lindoroboshandarababosa. Let the gates of hell be frustrated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell, over our finances, over our earnings, over every blessing that you have given unto us, I command them to be frustrated in the name of Jesus Christ. Rima sata yende ribebosa, rabakore bashanda. For you will build your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, give us victory, Lord, over every devourer in our lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, everything that is draining our finances, Father, give us victory. Give us victory. Give us victory, Lord, for we trample over them. Masha Kayanda, Luke chapter 10:19. You tell us that you have given us power, you've given us authority to trample over every serpent and scorpions and to overcome every enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us, Lord. Ramande Shikayanda, Masotorobo Koria Bashanda. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory and honor, because you've given us victory, Lord. You've given us victory over the devourer, over our finances, over our blessings, all kinds of blessings, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every devourer, we rebuke you, we command you to release our finances, release our blessings, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lishoshaya, let your sword, Almighty God, Almighty Father, let your sword, Lashotia Bashanda, Masekerebo Shinda Rababosa, Ribosia Bashanda, cut off the head of every devourer in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lindorobokoshindaya, we render every devourer powerless over us. In the name of Jesus Christ, Manderebo Koria Bashanda, Rikoshanda, we bind every strong man, Landoroboshanda Rababosa, every strong man that is holding our blessings, Lord, Rabakailebosia Bashanda, Rimonda Rabakoshandara, we bind them and cast them back to the pits of hell. We release the fire of the Holy Spirit against them. We command them to release what belongs to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, La Bonda Rabashende, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we give you praise and glory. Lord, let your favor begin to flow. Let your financial blessings begin to flow. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lambo Rebakaeleboshanda. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed all this. Amen, 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 amen. I need to bring this audio to an end. It's getting too long for some people to listen to. So I'm going to stop here. Shalom and remain blessed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Shalom and have a blessed day. It's 6:39 a.m. in the UK now. Shalom.